The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 22, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 27th, 2016, in Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hiranyakashipu Uvacha Prarada Anuchyatam Tata Svaditam Kinchit Uttamam Kalena Etavata Ayushman Yat Ashikshat Guru Bhavan Hiranyakashipu Uvacha Paradanuchatam Tata Svaditam Kichiruttamam Kalenai Tatvata Yushman Yad Ashikchad Gurur Bhavan Hiranyakashipur Uvacha Paradanuchatam Tata Svaditam Kichanuttamam Kalainai Tavata Yushman Yad Ashikchad Gurur Bhavan. Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. King Hiranyakashipu said, Prahlada, my dear Prahlada, Anuchyatam, let it be told, Tata, my dear son, Svaditam, well learned, Kinchit, something, Uttamam, very nice, Kalena Etavata, for so much time, Ayushman, O long lived one, Yat, which Asikchat has learned Guru from your teachers, Bhavan, yourself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu said, my dear Prahlad, my dear son, O long lived one, for so much time you have heard so many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. Purport. In this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds, Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya in the seminal disciplic succession, were the gurus appointed by his father, but his other guru was the exalted Narad Muni, who had instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual master Narada. Thus there was again a difference of opinion between Prahlad Maharaj because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about politics and diplomacy. Prahlad had learned from Shanda Unamarka, Now the dissension between the father and the son became increasingly intense, as Prahlad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru, Narada Muni.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshatarine.
It's very interesting here how Prahlad has taken the words of his father, in the most transcendental way. Not what his father meant, but he literally took the words of the father. What is the best thing you have learned from your teachers? He had three teachers. He had Narada Muni, Shanda, and Amarka. So he was just being honest. Well, the best thing I learned was Krishna Bhakti, you see, from my teachers. I had three. The father thought he only had two teachers. He didn't know he had a third one, you see. So we also have teachers like these students. These are they being homeschooled or they go to public school?
They go to public school.
So you're being trained by Shanda and Amarka, you see, in the public school, you see. So you have your teachers there, but you have teachers here also, you see. So as a student, you should think, what's the best thing I'm learning from my teachers? And the best thing you're learning is bhakti, Krishna bhakti. They may teach you mathematics or geography or history or this or that or PE, as we used to call it, the gymnasium or whatever it is, running around the track like an idiot. But here you're getting the best knowledge, you see. The best thing you're learning of all from all your teachers, the best thing is Krishna bhakti. Now, if someone in the mood of Hiranyakashipu, they won't agree with that statement. If Krishna bhakti, that's just a useless waste of time. God's just a myth. There's no such thing as God. To teach bhakti is just a stupid sentiment. It doesn't make any sense. That's what the Hiranyakashipu type people will say, you see. But if we thoughtfully analyze it, how can something exist without out of nothing, you see? There has to be an origin for existence, and that origin must logically and scientifically be a person. You can't have impersonal lump cannot produce persons. Persons come from persons. So there must be a God, a personal God. It's science. It's logical. So the best thing you're learning then in the school, in your training as a student, is how to actually become a lover of God. You should understand that this is Prahlad understood, you see. The best thing I'm learning from all of my teachers is what Narada Muni taught me. That's the best thing. You should never think that these other things are more important than geography or history or mathematics or whatever else they teach you. Civics. We studied civics. That was politics when I was in school. Civics. Civics, physics, chemistry, so many topics, you see. You should understand these topics are nothing compared to the topic of Krishna consciousness. This is actually the topmost knowledge. Krishna confirms it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not my words. I'm not making this up. Just because I'm a teacher of bhakti, it's not like I'm some ego trip and I'm a teacher of bhakti, so therefore I say that bhakti is the best. No, I don't say. I'm just repeating what Krishna says. Krishna, who is the supreme authority, the source of all existence, the absolute authority on all matters. He says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitamita Mutamam, Pachakshavagamam Darnyam Shushukam Kartam Avyagam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyously performed. Show me any mundane knowledge. What is it?
If you want to enlighten on the next verse.
Want to what?
Would you like to enlighten more on the next verse, which is Prahlada's answer?
I haven't finished this verse yet. Yeah. I'd rather... That's a huge, long purport. Many, many pages. I'd rather not do that. That purport is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 14-page purport. I'm sorry, I'd rather not do that today because we only have a limit. To do a lecture on a 14-page purport requires at least a 3-hour class to do it properly. So therefore, I'd rather just speak on this verse, if it's okay. Because that's the verse, that's the prescribed verse for today. And tomorrow they can have a special seminar, 3-hour class. It's a 14-page purport. It's probably the best purport in all of Prabhupada's books. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu is one of the key verses. But the purport is humongous. And I don't want to just, kind of brush through it or just skim over it. I'd rather do an in-depth study of that purport. So therefore, I'd rather pass on your very nice suggestion, if it's okay. So, Hiranyakashipu is in for a big surprise. He's in for a humongous surprise. Here he thought his son is being very nicely trained to be a demon, and lo and behold, those Hare Krishnas got to him and trained him to become a devotee, you see. Of course, we all know the story, what happened. He wanted to kill his son after that. You see what kind of father he was. So we have to understand that the present moment, we are in a demoniac Hiranyakashipu type civilization. So we have to understand, you see, not only the kids in school, but all of us adults, we're being bombarded with materialistic propaganda wherever we go. And even at your job, when they talk about things, it's all laced with sense gratification. Even at the meeting, your employee meeting with your manager, it's all tinged with sense gratification, the whole thing. It's like you are a working people, working men. Even when they talk, they crack up some jokes about sex or, eating meat or beer. I mean, this is all just ingrained. Just by participating in that culture, even for earning a livelihood, there's all this contamination coming out of it, you see. So one has to always remember my best influence. That influence is there and I'm dealing with it. And I go to work every day. But my best influence is the influence of the devotees. That's the influence that I have to take very seriously. We always say, repeating Lord Chaitanya's instruction, asat sangha tyag, that one should give up the association of non-devotees. But yet here I am spending so many hours a day at work associating with non-devotees. How do I balance it out so I can actually be following Lord Chaitanya at the same time earn a livelihood? One could ask, you see. The key is this. You give association to the non-devotees. You don't take their association. He's always in the mood of how can I, not that how can they uplift me, but how can I uplift them? As a devotee, your position is far, far above any materialist, even a big materialist, a president of the United States or some famous scholar or some big professor from Harvard. As a devotee, your position is far above anybody in the material realm, far above anyone else, you see. So you should always be in the mood of what can I give to these people to help them come to a higher level of consciousness? Wherever you go, have that mood. Just like I mentioned the other day, how at work I started wearing tilak. And the boss loved it because I performed better at my job when I had tilak on. I used to take cookies to the break room once a week, put nice prasadam cookies in the break room. That was the hit of the week when I brought the prasadam cookies to the break room. It was a big thing. Oh, you brought the cookies again. So wherever you are, you should try to inject Krishna consciousness whatever way you can. When there's time, go out on book distribution. Go out on Harinam. Or have a program at your home. Invite your friends, your relatives. Find some way to always be pushing Krishna consciousness. Introducing it in whatever way you can, whatever sphere of activity you find yourself in. Try to introduce Krishna consciousness. Because that is our perfection. To actually follow Lord Chaitanya's order, Jare Deka Tade Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Gaya Guru Hoyutada Edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. And this way, on my order, you become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. Is that an order just for the gurus or the sannyasis? No. Every member of this movement is being instructed to become a guru, a teacher of science of Krishna. When Prabhupada was opening the temple in Hyderabad, India, there was many pious Indian gentlemen who came, pious Hindu gentlemen who came to attend the temple opening. Prabhupada said to all these gentlemen, he said, if you're living in a neighborhood, you should become the guru of the neighborhood and enlighten them with Krishna consciousness. He instructed all the Hindu gentlemen who were guests at the temple opening to become gurus by giving the science of Krishna. So even the guests, they were not initiated devotees, they were just pious Hindu gentlemen. Even if the Hindu gentlemen are all told to become gurus, what about initiated ISKCON devotees? You see, how much we should be in the mood of teaching, 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 teaching. You see? And if you're not in a position to do that, your schedule doesn't allow it, then you can financially support those who are teaching. You see? Support your local temple with financial support. If your time is so caught up in working, there's no time to do anything else except for going to work and chanting around and sleeping at night. Of course, on the weekend, find some time. But if you can't directly preach, then you can financially support those who are preaching also. And that'll also give you the equal benefit as a preacher gets. So, if we take this process very seriously, our lives will be inconceivably sublime. It's not something artificially imposed upon us. It's something we already have. Satchidananda Vigraha. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Sarupa Hai Krishnara Nityadas. And as Krishna is full of knowledge, eternal, full of bliss, so his devotee also. So all living entities actually. Every living entity is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So I'm not experiencing eternity, knowledge, and bliss. What does it mean? If I'm not tasting, experiencing eternity, knowledge, and bliss right now, it means I'm covered by the modes of material nature. Isn't it? So one has to get out of the covering in the modes of material nature. And that is the process of sadhana bhakti that we teach here in this temple. We teach you how to get free from the influence of the material nature so you can come back to your original, unlimitedly blissful spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is the actual nature. The material nature is only a covering of the spiritual nature. And spirit, or light, is more powerful than matter or darkness. This is the beauty of the whole thing. You may get discouraged sometime. It seems hopeless to become spiritually awakened. But always remember that light is more powerful than darkness. And we can scientifically prove that to you. Go into a dark room, turn on your flashlight, and it'll have a big impact on that room. Now take a container here, like this cup has darkness in it right now, Take a a container of, with darkness in it and go into a bright room and pull the lid off and see how much the darkness dissipates the light. Darkness cannot dissipate light. As soon as darkness comes into contact with light, it's immediately dissipated by the light. So by a very simple example, we can see that light is more powerful than darkness. So spirit is light, matter is darkness. So that means the laws of reality are on your side. If you want to take to the process of spiritual awakening, the laws of reality are on your side. Because light is more powerful than darkness. As soon as you bring a little bit of light into your life, the darkness begins to go away. And how do you do that? It's very simple. You just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Immediately the light comes into your life. Or you come to the temple and take the darshan. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, this is Krishna himself in his most merciful manifestation to bestow prema freely upon all living entities. When Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he made a condition. First of all, you surrender, and then I'll give you my mercy. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, in a more merciful manifestation, he made no such condition. He simply said, here, take the mercy. Surrendered or not surrendered, that doesn't matter. Here, take the mercy. You see. So, even if one just comes as a guest, he doesn't know anything about what's going on. He just comes for the darshan. He receives the unlimited blessings of Krishna in his most merciful form of Lord Chaitanya, the deity on the right side there. And his companion is Lord Nityananda, who is also Lord Balaram in Krishna Lila. So Krishna and Balaram have come as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to bestow freely what has never been given before, pure love of God. So this is what we actually need to become satisfied in life. We may try to become satisfied by getting some nice position in some company, some nice income, getting a nice wife, nice kids, a nice house. But you know what? We never become satisfied by these things. Because no matter how nicely you situate yourself, it's only temporary. And we know inside our hearts it's only temporary. When death comes, it's all taken away, you see. Everything's taken away. But if you can invest the major portion of your heart in spiritual advancement, you'll never be disappointed. Sometimes they ask me, well, they say, Gurudev, how much of my energy should go for material things and how much for spiritual things? So it's very simple. I just invoke the old 80-20 rule, you see. The 80-20 rule. 80% of your consciousness should be for spiritual progress and 20% for your material necessities. If you invoke the 80-20 rule on your spiritual life, I guarantee you'll be successful, you see. Because we do have to take care of the body, you know. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to go to the toilet, you have to earn some money to keep the heat in the winter. You know, so many things we have to do. But that should be 20% of your consciousness, not 80. But we do the other way. Even those who are spiritually inclined, they do 80% material life and 20% spiritual life, or maybe 1%. Is it? But don't put material life more important than spiritual life. You do your material life. You have to cover your maintenance, you see. Keep body and soul together, as Prabhupada says. But make that 20% of your consciousness. And your 80% should be, how can I progress spiritually? How can I wake up every morning instead of thinking about getting to work to earn my living? How can I wake up every morning and think about how can I awaken pure love of God within my heart and awaken pure love of God within the hearts of all living entities in this world? That should be my move when I wake up. And I go to work just to help this support my spiritual life. I go to work to support my spiritual life. Not that my material life is my life. Material life is death. Actually, it's death. My real life is spiritual life. So my material life is simply to give some nice facility for my spiritual life. Some people sleep on the side of the road. They have a will work for food sign. That's not very conducive for spiritual life, to be in a destitute condition. So we have a peaceful situation for spiritual life. We get a job, we get some house, we may get a wife and kids, you see, to satisfy our desires in that way, to become peaceful, and that's okay. But understand, this is a facility not to enjoy that thing. It's a facility to make your mind peaceful so that you can focus on spiritual awakening. You see, this is the Indian culture. This is real Indian culture. Not, you know, high tech. Now all the high tech things are in India, and you know, all the high tech companies. You see, this is not Indian culture. Indian culture is plain living and high thinking. Material life means high living and no thinking. That's material life. You see. They call it high on the hog. That's the phrase they have, high on the hog. That means they're hogs. They're living like hogs. You see? So our philosophy is not high living and no thinking. Our philosophy is plain living and high thinking. You live simply. Take what you need, but don't live extravagantly. Extravagance will never satisfy you because it's only on the material plane. You live the awakening of your eternal relationship with God. You are one of the associates of the Lord from His spiritual kingdom who fell down here due to envy of His supreme position. So do not cheat yourself by remaining a false lord in this material world. You just try to become the humble servant of God. This is why we bow down in the temple. We bow down to remind ourselves, I'm the servant. You see, the Lord is the master and I'm the servant. So by taking this mood of humble submission before the Lord, trying to hear His instructions as given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then actually following those instructions, we feel a tremendous awakening of spiritual life within our hearts. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. Better you sit here and tell me what you said.
You know, in the West we have tithing, and you alluded to that when you said about supporting Ishkan or a temple, things like that. And normally we say 10% of our earnings.
Let me do a catch up because I can't catch any of it. And yeah, they tithe in Christianity. Yeah.
So I'm wondering what is, you know, because it's considered a spiritual practice, it's not something that is not spiritual, you know, it's considered part of our, like a daily prayer or whatever. You know,
what is the question?
What Christians do?
And I want to know what is, how is this?
Well, the actual standard in the Vedas is to give 50%. Not 10%, 50%. Of course, it's not may not be practical in the modern day economy, because we, you know, we're just sometimes it's just like we're on the edge of bankruptcy. One should give as whatever spare income they can afford to give, they should give to help the movement. Yeah,
it's very nice.
10% is very. If every householder in ISKCON gave 10%, our movement would help our movement to go forward. The Christians are spreading their Christianity all over the world. They have missionaries in India who are, you know, converting the Hindus and the Christians because of this 10%.
They're paid missionaries.
Huh?
They're paid.
So they are paid.
They go out and do their work. Missionaries?
The missionaries are on salaries, yeah.
Yeah.
And they also give all material facilities. They use money to provide material facilities for the villagers to convince them that they become Christians and they get material facilities also. You see? So this 10% rule is very successful. It helped Christianity convert people all over the world. If ISKCON householders can all give 10%, it would be a tremendous shot in the arm to help our movement become more successful and more powerful. Yes, definitely.
Do
Okay, next. Okay, from Deepak, one of our online students. My question is, why my consciousness is not pure as yours? It's because of my past deeds and my low realization. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're more pure than me. I don't know. How can I say I'm more pure than you? I don't even know you. You're somebody coming on the internet. Maybe you're more pure than me. I can't judge that. You could be more pure than me for all I know. And you're just humble. But in the fact is that the more one practices Krishna consciousness, the more one becomes purified. I've been strictly following. I was initiated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in 1971, and I've been following my vows since that time. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and chant 16 rounds of japa, at least every day. So by steadily following the order of my spiritual master after all these years, there is a cumulative effect of purification of consciousness. So if you feel that someone is more advanced than you in Krishna consciousness, then you can see, well, how long have I been practicing it, and how long have they been practicing it? That's one way you can analyze it. Any other questions? Here we go. Damayanti Devi Dasi from Riga, Latvia. Can you say some words regarding book distribution marathon, which starts next week? Yes, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This book distribution is the most powerful manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy for delivering the fallen souls of this world back to their original position in the spiritual sky. So Prabhupada wants us to flood the world with books. He said, just like they drop bombs during the war, they rain the bombs down. These are bombs. We're going to rain these bombs down, completely transform the material society. So one should become very, very enthusiastic and eager to distribute as many books as possible to as many people as possible, especially during the marathon times. Okay, next question. Why don't you play an MP? Why don't you play when you're driving in your car on your way to work? Why don't you hear a lecture then? You can hear a lecture when you're on your way to work. Even while you're brushing your teeth, you can play a lecture while you're shaving and brushing your teeth in the morning. There are ways to do that. I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami, one of my exalted godbrothers. I would see him when he would go to shave and shower in the morning and brush his teeth. He would hear a lecture by Prabhupada. So there are ways to increase your hearing. You just got to do it. In the car, you can immediately turn on a lecture. Isn't it? So even if you have time to read, you can hear. You can hear lectures and get great benefit. So you have to just see how to maximize. And you can have a little rule that you have a book by your bed at night. You have to read for a few minutes before you go to sleep every night. Just read even one page every night before you go to bed. You have to discipline yourself. There are definitely times. I guarantee you, if I studied your schedule, you gave me every minute through the whole week, I would show you so many times that you could find, plug into hearing or reading. You just have to do it. You have to be very intelligent and analyze your own schedule. The family should get together and read also. There should be even 15 minutes before the kids go to school every day, the family sits together and reads from Prabhupada's books. You see, just get up a little 15 minutes earlier. go to bed 15 minutes earlier at night and get up 15 minutes early in the morning. And the whole family have a nice reading from Prabhupada's books of 15 minutes before everybody heads out to school or to work. These are different ideas, but I'm sure that if you really apply yourself, you'll find ways to squeeze more Krishna consciousness into your week. I'm sure. The fact that you're here is very good. It's a very good. This shows you're a very dedicated devotee, your wife and your kids, that you're here. Of all the Indian families, you're here. This is very outstanding that you're here. So just the same intelligence that has given you the ability to come here on Sunday morning, with that same intelligence you can find ways to squeeze more Krishna consciousness into your daily schedule. Okay? Next. Alexandra. Let's see here. Oh, let's see, who's next, Devi? Premananda is there, let's see.
Premananda.
Okay, Premananda from Mumbai. Srila Gurudev, there are many kings mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam who were saintly and devotees of Krishna. Is it better facilities for people who are not materially opulent to be Krishna conscious? Is it better facilities for people who are not materially opulent to be Krishna conscious? In other words, Krishna will actually, is it better not to be materially opulent for one's Krishna consciousness? Material opulence can be helpful if you're Krishna conscious. You can use it for Krishna. So you can go either way, just like those who are highly advanced but don't become, somehow miss the opportunity to become, to go back to Godhead. They come close, but they're not fully qualified. Instead, they come back in a wealthy family or in a Brahmin family. So to be in a wealthy position actually can be a blessing for one who was highly advanced in his previous lifetime but did not quite achieve the perfection, because he can use that opulence in the service of Krishna. Now, but it could also be a cause of degradation as also one becomes, you know, a degenerate playboy. That's also what usually happens, unfortunately. But it can be a situation where an opulent position is due to past pious activities, and now Krishna is blessing you with an opportunity that you can do very valuable service without material opulence to help this Krishna consciousness movement. So it depends on the individual. Generally speaking, material opulence blinds people, and it's good not to be so opulent. That's why it's said that Krishna, if he's very kind, he takes away all your material opulence. For those, in other words, if one wants to be a devotee, but at the same time he's bewildered by material opulence, then Krishna will take away that material opulence to help him become fully devoted. However, if one is not bewildered by material opulence, then Krishna can give an unlimited opulence to use in his service. So that, I hope that helps a little bit. Okay, now Alexandra. We were distributing books yesterday very nicely. We have one person telling us he knows all and he is God. There was no point of debate, but can this soul be saved? Sure. There are people who believe they were God, and now they're devotees. Like I used to think that I was God. Actually, when I first went to the temple in San Francisco, I love the mantra. A friend of mine had taught it to me. I was chanting Hare Krishna in the temple room. Some Brahmacharini, she came up and she said, "Oh, you're chanting so nicely." I was thinking, ha ha, if she only knew that I am Krishna. So even if somebody like me who thought he was Krishna can become a devotee completely, then there's hope for anybody. Even if they say they're God, there's still hope for them. Because if Krishna will bless them, that they realize, someday they'll realize they're not God, as I got that realization in due course. Actually, I was seeking spirituality. I was a genuine spiritual seeker, but I had been misguided by these Mayavadi gurus. They told me you should think that you're God because that will help you to become self-realized. That's what I was taught, you see. They said, actually, you were God, but right now you're just hiding for yourself. So now, by realizing that you're God, that's how you become self-realized. So I was innocently being misguided by these people, you see. I thought they knew what they were talking about. This is my first introduction to Indian philosophy. I thought they knew what they were talking about. It turned out they were just rascals and fools, and I was misguided. But because I was sincere, I rejected all that nonsense. So it is possible that somebody who says that they're God can actually become a devotee. It is possible. I know it because it happened to me.
It depends, doesn't it?
Huh?
It depends.
It depends. Now, if they're because just like the example of the Kumaras, you see, they achieved Brahman realization, which is I am God realization. But they weren't envious. They were humble. And then when they had the opportunity, they went further to Bhagavan. They were Brahman realized, but they weren't envious of the Supreme. They just didn't know about the Supreme Person. That's all. They were innocent. So if one is innocent, innocently thinking he's God, then he can go beyond that. But if one is in this envious mood that he wants to deny the personality of God at his existence and be himself the personality of God, then he's in a hopeless position. Mayavadi Vasha Shuni Lai Hoi Sarvanash. One who fully embraces Mayavadi philosophy is doomed, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But an innocent person may go along with some time with this Mayavadi conception because that's all he's been taught so far. You see. Bhakti Sunil from Mumbai. Is being in a countryside or quiet surrounding and serene, beautiful, natural surroundings helpful to chant and practice devotion? Or even urban, noisy, crowded surroundings is equally conducive to practice devotion? There are different modes of nature. Now, to be out in the country, that's a mode of goodness. To be in the city where everybody's, you know, money, 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 go here, go there, horns honking, get to work on time, that's the mode of passion. Or if you go to like a brothel, a house of prostitution, that's the mode of ignorance. But a temple, that is transcendental. You come to a temple of Krishna, even if it's in the middle of the city, it doesn't matter. The temple is better than being in the country. So therefore we establish temples all over the world, and most of them are in the cities. So the people can get the opportunity to come, you see. So the temple is the very best place. It's even better than being out in a beautiful natural scene in the mountains, sitting on a mountaintop watching the sun rise, chanting your japa as the sun rises, and sitting on top of a mountain. You're much better in the temple room in front of the deities, you see. Because here the ultimate sun is rising, Krishna. The Krishna sun is rising, not the Suryadev sun, you see. So the temple is the best place. Although of material atmospheres, the country is the best, but the temple is not material, it's a purely spiritual atmosphere. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj mentioned, he said spiritual knowledge is Raja Vidya, it's the supreme knowledge. And still we need to have some material knowledge to keep the, for the maintenance. And 80-20% is that 80% spiritual and 20% of material. So I have a son who is ready for college. He's applying for college. And the demand is, so it's not 20%, it's 120%.
Catch me up. I'm not hearing it. So what is she saying so far?
She's saying that demand for material education is there, 80% to 20% is spiritual education. Although the Krishna says this knowledge is Rajavidya, the supreme knowledge. But for maintenance and all that, they have to...
The demand is more. It's not 20%. If I take my son, he spends...
So what's the question?
The question is... demand for the material to get a decent college and get decent scholarship, the demand is not 20%. It's 100%.
You're saying they had to spend 80 or 90% of their time with mundane knowledge?
Yes.
Yeah. I understand that. Even when you're working a job, it's the same thing. You're spending a major portion of your day at the job. In terms of the hours spent, the material side usually comes out ahead, except on the weekend. So my point is this: your consciousness has to be 80% spiritual and 20% for the material side. You have to do it in a state of Krishna consciousness. You see. So you have to do it in a state of Krishna consciousness. Just like I had to go, I was a brahmachari for 14 years, okay? And I actually didn't complete my college education. I dropped out. So when I got married, I needed to go to, went to some school to get some training, computer programming, so I could earn, get some money, earn a living as a computer programmer. I actually took a course on IBM, very basic, low-level language, IBM mainframe assembler language. And the teacher is a very good teacher. Judy Gamage was her name. She said, the first class, she said, "Welcome to the wonderful world of assembler programming." She was actually a very good teacher. She made it exciting. But I was thinking, wow, I was learning from her how I could preach Krishna consciousness more effectively. This woman was a good teacher. She made some boring thing, IBM mainframe assembler language. What could be more boring and dull? She made it exciting. So I said, wow, this woman is an incredibly talented teacher. I'm learning from her how to be a better preacher. Just by seeing how she teaches assembler language. You see what I'm saying? So if you have the mood of Krishna consciousness, you can even take something material and see it in a spiritual way. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about. You see? It was really tough. I was working the job and going at night, it was a very intense schedule. I was working the job full time and going at night to be trained in assembler programming. Actually, I wanted to get to another apartment to get a better paying job in the company. So that's why I took the. So I was going. I was channeling around, and it was very intense. But at the same time, I was having to study assembler every night. I had to drive to downtown Dallas to Dallas County Community College and study assembler programming with Judy Gamage. But I saw it in a spiritual way. So that's how you have to take the mundane education if you're really serious about being Krishna conscious. And that's how we have to train them, that you have to be very serious about becoming Krishna conscious, because all of these material things will be finished today or tomorrow. The only real asset you have in your life is how much you've awakened Krishna bhakti. So if you have that intensity within, then you can use anything in a spiritual way, even in assembler programming. You see? Does that help a little bit? It's a matter of your vision, not the hours you spend. It's your vision. You have to have that vision, Krishna conscious vision.
It is also our own fault, because we didn't develop the Vedic culture, and then society is whole like material culture. The Vedic culture was so simple, it's everywhere. Right now she's saying there is so much demand for that. They are trying to make one an ass.
Yes, they train you to be an ass.
That's what they say. They are making them to ass, and we are going along with them.
That's why companies like to hire college graduates. Because you have to be a very good ass to get a degree. You have to work like an ass. The papers, the exams, the classes, year after year after year. You have to show you're a very dedicated ass to get a college degree. He's got a college degree. He worked like an ass to get a degree, so now he can work like an ass for this company. It's like the ass. He's working all day because at the end of the day, the master is going to give him a handful of grass. He's such a fool. He's not seeing the grass is growing on the side of the road. He's going back and forth with the laundry between the river and the village all day, going back and forth, thinking, if I don't carry this burden of laundry on my back, I will starve. The master will not give me any grass. But the grass is growing everywhere. He's so blind, he can't see it. This is an example of Prabhupada uses. So we shouldn't be in an ass mentality. We have to be in the develop a Paramahamsa mentality of seeing, extracting Krishna from everything. You see, the swan, you can give the swan a mixture of milk and water, and he has a certain beak which can draw the milk out of the mixture of milk and water and leave the water beside. So one has to learn this art of extracting Krishna everywhere, whether you're at work, your school, wherever you are, how to extract Krishna everywhere. This is why we train you to chant, to deeply chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is why we teach you to study these books and understand this philosophy. This is why we teach you to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who will empower you with transcendental vision. You see?
They don't want it.
That's their foolishness. You know, that's a foolishness. If they don't want to be, they'd rather be an ass than be a Paramahamsa. Is it? Hee haw, hee haw, hee haw. The ass brays, hee haw. He's thinking it's very nice poetry. I'm very beautiful. I'm the number one. I'm a great singer. You're going, hee haw. But actually, it's just a disturbance.
Mm. That these people, those who are saying that there are so many demands for this material education, they'll go for that, they'll put their time, efforts, and everything for that. But if you want to give them spiritual knowledge.
No time. I'm working so hard to get my college degree. Why don't you read these books? No time. But then they listen to some mundane, when they have free time, the mundane stuff on the internet. That they have time for, you see. Space out on, when they have a little free time, space out on the internet. Maybe a little porn, you know, something to space out on the internet. But they don't have time to read the books, you see. The thing is, if you'll take whatever spare time you, here's another insider secret for those who want to attain pure bhakti. Whatever spare time you have, use it for Krishna, and guess what will happen? Krishna will give you more spare time. And you use that for Krishna, he'll give you even more spare time. It's an insider secret. Whatever spare time you have in your 24, use it for Krishna and just see the magic that'll happen. If you don't believe me, try it. Whatever spare time you have, pick up the Gita, instead of read one verse, or chant one round of Japa Mala, you see, or write a Krishna conscious poem. You see what I'm saying? Whatever spare time you have, use it for Krishna and the magic will happen. Krishna will give you more time. Give you more time. But when you waste time, you're just cutting your throat. Wasting is cutting your own throat. Don't waste time spacing out in the material nature. Use every minute is more valuable than all of the gold on Mount Meru. Every moment of time is more valuable than all the gold on Mount Meru. So don't waste even a single moment. The original the original teacher or guru of time management is Srila Rupa Goswami, and he said, do not waste a single moment. This is time management. Use every moment for Krishna. So our time is almost up. We have about we have 30 seconds. Any last quick question?
Gurudev?
Yeah.
So it's a follow-up question to what she asked. So she asked that she has a son and who is preparing right now for getting into a college, and the demand is so high that it demands for 120% of the time. It's not 20%. It's even more than 100%. You have to do so much struggle to get into
but
college.
But yet, he has other diversions he does for break. He's not sitting 24 hours in front of the book. You'll see he does other things. You observe him carefully. You see he's doing other things. He's taking breaks for this or that. That those breaks should be Krishna conscious. And then when you do that, then he'll become, Krishna will give him the intelligence how to study more effectively and master the subject matter more easily. When you do it, yat kadoshi yadishnasi yojdahosi dadasiyat, when you actually do it for Krishna, Krishna makes it easier. You see? Krishna makes it easier. Just like in that, I made an A in the similar language course. You see, I was doing it for Krishna. I made an A. So if you're doing it for Krishna, it becomes easier. I took a number of courses after I became a devotee for my purpose, I guess, household life. But I was making A's in all the courses. Where before I became a devotee, I was making A, B, C, like that. But as a devotee, I was making A in every course I took. I made an A except for Sanskrit. That was too tough. I made a B in Sanskrit. But I took a few courses as a house sorter for different needs for livelihood. But I took D-Base 3 programming. I took a few other courses. But every course, after I became a devotee, I made an A. But before I didn't make A's, you see. I made some A's. And I was, you know, I was A's and B's, but I wasn't straight A student, but I became almost straight A after I became a devotee. Just because I was using it for Krishna. So if he is in the mood, oh, let me earn a livelihood, will give me a good facility for being a devotee, practicing and spreading Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will give it. Krishna, all knowledge is there within the heart anyway. Krishna knows everything. So Krishna can make, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was a top-notch student and he didn't do all the homework. He was automatically a top-notch student because of his Krishna consciousness. So even for material intelligence, if you're using it for Krishna, Krishna will make it much easier. If your goal is material sense gratification, it'd be very, very difficult. So if his goal is material sense gratification, he's going to struggle like an ass for his whole life. But if his goal is to please Krishna, he can do the study, he can master the same subject matter in half the time because he's doing it for Krishna. So our time is up, and we thank you all very, very much for your coming today. It gives me great pleasure that all of you have come. And we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.